You have your Bibles with you today if you want to go ahead and open to the book of Matthew. We're going to be starting in chapter 2, and we're going to be verse 1 through 11 today. Before we get started in that, while you're thumbing around, while you're looking for that, I told the youth group an easy way to find the book of Matthew is to split the Bible in half. That should take you to Psalms. And then take the later half and split that in half, and that should take you to Matthew. It's a good, easy way to make it look like you know your way around your Bible if you don't. So there's a tip for the day. Before we get started, Malcolm actually taught me that when we were on a missions trip. But before we get started, I just want to remind everybody this afternoon we have a church picnic at Roger and Karen's farm right up the road at 4 p.m. today. And I'm so excited about that. The sun came back out, so we don't have to bring your umbrella, hopefully. But also want to remind everybody too that we have a youth group that meets now on Wednesday night, and so it's at 7 p.m. It's called the Narrow Gate Youth Ministries, and this is for 6th graders through 12th graders. So if you know somebody, you have teenagers, bring them out. We have a good time. We spend time doing a little worship. We spend time just hanging out with each other and letting them be teenagers and acting crazy and wild and eating unhealthy food. And then we have a little Bible lesson, and then we end the night with we all hold hands in a circle, and we all go around and lift up whatever needs are in our life or in somebody else's life in prayer. And so it's been a great thing. So this week we're having Fields of Faith, and so this is, if you're not familiar with this, is the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We're having Fields of Faith at Fluvanna High School, and so we're going to take a little field trip this week. So we're going to meet at 7 p.m., and we'll figure out what time we actually need to get there for the game. So it's after the game, we go out on the football field and have the same kind of thing. Somebody brings a devotion out, so we're going to go join in with that. I know some of the FUMA cadets are going to go do that as well. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I have this morning to speak the truth of your word. Lord, I just thank you. What an honor it is to serve the King of Kings. And Lord, as we go through the Gospel of Matthew, as we've gone through some of the things and the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, it's so deep. It's so mind-blowing what you have done for us. But God, help us to understand this morning that it really is just simple, that we serve a God that loves us, that created us, and he loves us. And he wants us to be forgiven of our sin. He wanted to make a way. He did make a way. Lord, you made a way for us to be right with you. Even though we're sinful, you made a way for us to be righteous in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. And so, Lord, as we go through this scripture, Lord, that would be the main focus that someone would receive here today. Or maybe that somebody would be reminded of today that has wandered away. Lord, there's a God who created them, who loves them, and wants them back. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we were blessed to have my brother, Malcolm Warfield, here, and he shared some pictures and videos and shared some testimony of the things that God has done through his ministry in Uganda. And I have to warn you, he's already recruiting me to go with him in January, so I may be flying to Uganda for a trip in January. I haven't committed to it yet just because that's between me and the Lord. But anyways, it just seems like, you know, we just got back from Zimbabwe, and here to think about another trip kind of blows my mind, but it's exciting. And so so be praying about that. Something I forgot to mention last week is we as a church have actually started supporting the seed ministry that Malcolm Warfield has started and that he's been active in for years. Part of our budgeted line item on our budget goes directly towards supporting his ministry. And so I forget to tell you that. And it's when you give and when you put money in these bowls, a portion of that is actually going to support a missionary right here in the community that is going out and going all over the world spreading the gospel. So that's encouraging to see their giving in action through his ministry. So if you haven't been here in the last month or so, we've been preaching through the Gospel of Matthew. So today we're going to pick up where we left off two Sundays ago at chapter 2. So we're going to read, once I find it, we're going to read Matthew, I should have split it in half. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called for a meeting with the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview with the wise men, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We talked about it a little bit last week or the 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the birth of Jesus. It's kind of weird to be in September now into October to be going over the Christmas story. That's normally what we say for Christmas time, right? But if Lowe's can already be celebrating Christmas, we can be doing it too. Amen? And so that's what we're going to do. And I mean, really, that's, you think about it, you know, it's just a big racket, a big market these days. So we should be celebrating this all year round. And so I'm happy that we're going through this and we're talking about this in October and not just doing it because it's Christmas time. Amen? All right, so we've already seen in the last couple weeks, when we went through the genealogy, we went through the birth of Jesus Christ, how unnormal everything about the birth of Jesus Christ, everything about the early childhood of Jesus Christ, how weird it really is, and how unnormal, or I guess how unusual it really is. All the way from his genealogy, the fact that he is the Son of God, that's kind of mind-blowing. His mother was a virgin when she gave birth to him. His birth was announced by angels. Angels came down from heaven and announced his birth. The King of Kings was born in a stable. That doesn't seem very normal. And on and on and on. Well, as unusual and unexpected events, as unusual as all these are, we're going to see that it keeps on coming. It keeps on coming. These things that just throw us off track of what we would expect of a worldly point of view. Here are these wise men following a star. Okay, so they didn't have a GPS. They didn't have a map. They had a star. They were looking at a star and following it. See, we just read that these wise men were seeking after Jesus. And when they started seeking after Jesus, unusual things started happening, like a star coming down and leading them the way. And I want to tell you this morning, the same thing will happen with me and you if we truly seek Jesus. Unusual things will start to happen in our life. But I want to encourage you this morning, God will take these unexpected events in our life and he'll use them for the good. Sometimes it'll be obvious that it's good. Sometimes it'll be obvious, like, oh man, God's doing this. And sometimes God will run you through the valley a little bit to work out certain areas in your life. Like, yeah, if you're seeking after me, let me get rid of all this stuff and let me keep bringing you closer to me. And we like to say, well, why am I going through this, God? Why am I going through this? I'm seeking after you. Why all of a sudden am I going through this problem? Why are you asking me to travel thousands of miles following a star? Paul had an answer for this in Romans chapter 8, 28. He said, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That's a promise from God's word this morning. Let's look at verse 1. Here are three quick points that I'm going to give you in just in verse 1. Number one, little facts I want to point out. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. All right, this is important because it again fulfills prophecy. They quoted it, the religious leaders quoted it, and we go a little bit further down, we'll see that, but they were quoting Micah chapter 5, verse 2. If you are a note taker, you want to take notes of that and read it. He says, but you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. See, it fulfills this prophecy again. We see this time and time again. Number two, Jesus was born during the reign of King Herod the Great. He was an evil, crooked, insecure dude. He would do whatever he had to do. And we know leaders all around the world that are just like that still today. They're evil and they're going to do whatever makes them happy and whatever makes their kingdom look better. Number three, Jesus was sought by wise men from the east. And this is what I want to focus on. See, these wise men were very influential men in their time. They were seeking for the truth. They were skilled scientists, if you will, of their day, seeking the Messiah. So if they came seeking for something, if they came and they found the truth and they went back and told it to the people, people knew that they had really done their research. They weren't just regular guys. They were wise men who came seeking the Messiah. Look at verse 2. Here we see these wise men asking an unexpected question. They were asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" Now, Matthew doesn't tell us how they knew that Jesus was going to be born there. Matthew doesn't tell us how they knew about the star. Matthew doesn't tell us how they knew about the birth of Jesus, but we do know that they followed a star. And the star was so great that it grabbed their attention to the fact that they followed it for thousands of miles to come see what was on the other side. Not just to travel thousands of miles, but to travel expecting to worship. They brought gifts with them to worship this King of Kings. So how did they know to follow it? Well, sometimes some people think that they knew the words that were spoken by Balaam in Numbers, recorded in Numbers 24:7. If you want to write that down, you can go back and look that up. Numbers 24:17, says this: "I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob." And whether it's that or maybe a combination of events, we don't know. Matthew didn't give us that. But either way, I believe that God spoke to him. I believe God spoke to their heart. That's what he did with Mary and Joseph, didn't he? He sent an angel down to confirm things with them. Either way, if God created a star to appear that led these wise men to seek after Jesus, I believe they knew it in their heart. Have you ever had God just speak to your heart where you know God is pulling you to do something? Maybe God's pulling you away from something. Maybe God is telling you it's time for you to step into a new direction in life. Has anybody ever felt that before? Maybe you've felt it many a times in your life, and you've been like me, and you said, "Yeah, God, I know you're pulling at my heart, but I'm gonna need you to come back when it's more convenient. Let me seal that back up for a minute, and I'm not ready for that yet." Kind of like me going to Uganda. But see, I think they had this experience with God. I think they had this experience with God. And most importantly, what's awesome about it is they listened and they obeyed. We see that's a common reoccurring theme too, that the people, Mary and Joseph and all the people in the genealogy, they obeyed and they did what they were supposed to do. They did what God called them to do. See, the problem with mankind today is that most of us are so preoccupied by our plans, worldly affairs, our possessions, our career, and all these other things that we're just like most of the people that were in those days. Turns out these wise men were the only ones who were actually seeking Jesus. They came a long way seeking Jesus. What another great example of faith. They came seeking. They came looking. They stopped everything. They left everything of their life and they traveled far to come worship and to come find Jesus. But see, so often we reject God because it might mess up our plans. And this leads right into the next section. Let's look at verse 3 and 6. 3 through 6, Here we see a prime example of how we get it all messed up today. In these three verses, we see three types of people, three different groups of people who rejected Jesus Christ. Look back through 3 and 3 through 6. Number one is this, King Herod. It says he was what? He was deeply disturbed. He was deeply disturbed when he heard about the birth of Jesus. Herod was an evil man, and he had his own, he was so evil that he had his own family members killed. He had one of his wives killed just to make himself look better because she didn't do something. Or maybe if you threatened his throne or you even looked good in his kingdom, he was the type of dude that would just get rid of you. Like, okay, he might rise up one day and be better than me. I got to get rid of him. This is the kind of king that King Herod was. He was a paranoid man and insecure in who he was. All he could think about was protecting his throne. He was disturbed by the news of a newborn king. Number two, Matthew says everyone in Jerusalem was deeply disturbed. He doesn't say some of the people. He says everyone in Jerusalem, when they came and said, "Hey, where's this King of Kings?" They were disturbed. They were like, "What? Huh?" You see, everyone had their own idea. They had a worldly idea of how the Messiah would come. They were expecting a mighty king, not a humble child. And other people simply just didn't believe. We see that happening still today. People always trying to make God who they want him to be, right? Well, us here in the church need to be careful. I need to be careful not to point the finger and say, "Oh, the world is doing this, the world is doing that." Because sometimes us in the church, are some of the worst people in this role. Look at the third group that was disturbed. It was the religious people. You see, the person who was wrapped up in religion, see, they want things to go the way that they want things to go. If they're wrapped up in, I'm going to use the religion, if they're all about the religion, they're worried about what they can get out of the church, not what the church can, what they can give the church. They're worried about what God can give them. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, bless me. You hear these prayers a lot with like religious ceremonies and stuff. We ask your blessings on this. We ask your blessings on that. But they don't ever go out and say, what God, how can I serve you? These religious leaders knew the scriptures, but they had ignored them. You see, the person who is wrapped up in the business of religion doesn't want there to be any change. They want to stay in their materialistic, worldly way of church and way of life. We still see this in the church with religious people, don't we? They want control in the church. They want certain control over certain ministry. This is my ministry. I don't want you to change that because I like the way this is happening. Or maybe I don't want this person to be involved with this ministry because it's my ministry. But God's wanting to do something new there. And we choke him out so often. You see, out of those who got it all messed up, we so often are the worst, just like they were then. I love Acts chapter 13. If you want to write this down, verse 27. Acts chapter 13, verse 27 says this. The people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as one of the prophets, as the one the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned him. The leaders in Jerusalem condemned him. And in doing this, they fulfilled the prophet's words that they read every Sabbath. That's some powerful stuff right there. And it's convicting. See, it was the religious people who condemned Jesus Christ. And they didn't even realize that they were fulfilling prophecies that they had read time and time again while they were doing it. Church, we must be seeking Jesus, not denominational rules. Church, we must be seeking Jesus, not the latest church trends. God doesn't care about the history of our building. Now listen to me. Don't leave on me this morning, okay? I know we talk about this sometimes. He expects us to be good stewards of what he has given us. And we do have to take care of this place. And we do take care of the grounds. And we thank God that he's given us this place to worship and to be a little lighthouse in the community to send people out. But it's not the center of what the church is. We've talked about that before in Ephesians in our study. We are the church. The people are the church. God doesn't care one bit if we have fancy lights and a big worship band and smoke machines like we see in some of these mega churches. He doesn't care about all that. He doesn't need all that. It seems like the churches have gone in either one of these extreme directions these days. Either we're worshiping our building and our traditions, or either we're worshiping the trends that lead us down this path of entertaining people into church. We're all so busy in all the wrong ways, church, when we should be busy just simply seeking after Jesus. Simply seeking after Jesus and simply striving to do what he told us to do. This is what the wise men were doing. And God used them in a mighty way to share their testimony of what God was doing through them. Just like we heard about with Malcolm last week. You see, they were not ashamed to be seeking Jesus Christ. They weren't ashamed of what they were here for. They came in Jerusalem and they said, hey, where is the King of Kings? Where is he? We came seeking the Messiah. Where is he? In fact, their boldness got them summons to a meeting with the great King Herod himself. The entire city heard their testimony, which led them to be commissioned by the king himself to find this newborn king. And we're going to find out next week that King Herod was up to no good when he had told him this. He said, oh, I'm going to worship him. But we'll get into that next week. But either way, they were summoned by the king himself to go search for Jesus Christ. But God still used them and used him without him even knowing that he was helping the wise men seek after Jesus. It goes back to Romans, what we just read a little while ago. This is such a great message for us today, church, because anyone who truly seeks after Jesus, will find him. That's a promise that we have. And sometimes he'll put the most unlikely people in our path to help us find him. Sometimes it's people that are really difficult. Sometimes it's people that even seem like they're persecuting us. And sometimes it seems like there's people that are just, you know, like, God, why do I have to deal with this person? But you never know what God is trying to teach you through other people. You never know maybe he's trying to teach them with dealing with you because you're the difficult one. I don't know. I have that. That's one of those outlooks we have to have sometimes, because I have to do that sometimes. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I'm the difficult one in this situation. Look at verse 9 and 10 for just a few seconds. Here we see a great example of God's faithfulness yet again. Apparently the wise men didn't expect to see this star again. It led them to Jerusalem. They go meet with the people. They meet with the king and all this stuff. And so here they start off again, and they start faithfully continuing their search, doing all they could do, and the star shows back up again to guide them. And I just wondered about it. I was like, I wonder if anybody else saw the star. And it doesn't seem like they did. It seems like, you know, like God maybe just revealed it. I don't know. But I just wonder that sometimes. It's something to think about. I wonder if everybody could see the star and if they just said, huh, that's weird. Look at that star up there. But the wise men knew to follow it. I don't know. You see, this has been a common theme in the last two chapters that we're starting in the chapter 2 of this book of the Gospel of Matthew. God always honors such faithfulness. God met their needs, didn't he? As soon as they started back on their journey, God was there leading them with the star. The person who refuses to quit, the person who counts the cost, like Jesus said, have you counted the cost of being my follower? These are the ones who get to see the supernatural happen. I've heard people say, like, well, I just feel like God, he's distant from me, and I just never get to experience things like that. And I would love to experience things that people come back and say they experience when they go on a missions trip or whatever. And it's like, well, you got to go to experience it. And I think that's what we can learn from these wise men. If they would have sat back and they'd have said, man, I don't know. We don't know where that star is leading us, and that's a long way, and my camel's kind of old, and her knees aren't good. I don't know if I should follow this star or not, God. I don't know. We'll use all kinds of excuses. But we miss out. We miss out on the supernatural. They would have missed out on the supernatural. See, most of us are content just staying in Jerusalem. Just staying there in Jerusalem, waiting on the Messiah, asking God, when are you going to come rescue me? When is the Messiah, the King of Kings, going to come in here and rescue me? When he's only 6 miles away in Bethlehem, laying in a manger. You see, out of all the people, even the king himself, only 3 men actually went searching for the newborn king. Think about that. He said everyone in Jerusalem was deeply disturbed. Sounds like not much has changed in this old world, right? How many people actually search for him today? That's why we never get to experience the joy that the scripture says the wise men got to experience. That the song that we sang talked about, like, sharing the story. It fills a place in your heart that nothing else can fill when you go out and you do what Jesus Christ designed for you to do. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29 says this, "And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him." Another promise from God's word. Let's look at verse 11 and we'll close. These wise men, after searching and searching, after traveling for days and probably months, thousands of miles they traveled, finally find this newborn king of the Jews. But he wasn't on a throne, was he? He wasn't surrounded by 1,000 soldiers, was he? He wasn't in a great palace lined with gold and all these things. Instead, they find a humble child surrounded by humble parents in a humble house. Yet they expected, I was reading through this and I was thinking about it. These wise men, when they came in, they said, where is this newborn king? They were expecting Jerusalem to say, oh, he's over here, come see him. They came asking, like, where is the newborn king that the star has led us to? But nobody, everybody else had missed the boat. They came expecting him to be known by everyone. And yet no one knew him. They expected splendor, and yet they found him in a pile of hay. They expected wealth, and yet they found him in a simple house. But what I really want us to notice, especially from verse 11, is when they came into the presence of the King of Kings. When they came into the presence of Jesus Christ, this little baby, they see Jesus laying there. What did they do? They bowed down and they worshiped him. They bowed down and they worshiped a little baby. It was that obvious to them that they had come into the presence of God himself in the form of a baby who would grow up to be Jesus Christ, who would be the Savior of the world, who would die on the cross to take away my sin and your sin. Amen? Church, we have to get to this point. See, the wise men, they opened up their treasure chest. And they gave him the best gifts that they had. They worshiped Jesus Christ. We have to get to this point where we give all of our worship to Jesus Christ. How much How much time do we spend worshiping our stuff and our things and our wants? But remember, God's ways are not man's ways, right? Remember that? God is not concerned with white robes and ceremonies. God's concerned with your heart. God's concerned with your pastor's heart. That's what he wants. That's why King David said he was a man after God's own heart. Why are we actually searching for Jesus, or are we searching for worldly things? So often we expect God to come looking for us and to save us, to explain himself to us, to prove who he is. God, if you're really who you say you are, come and do this for me. We expect God to give us gifts. But as we saw this morning, the wise men traveled thousands of miles to see this newborn king. And when they found him, they were filled with joy, to the point where it led them to fall down and bow down. They didn't just stand there and sing through a song. They didn't just, you know, do some kind of religious ceremony. They fell on their knees and worshiped Jesus Christ. They gave him all their gifts. You see, true wise men, true wise women will seek Jesus today, and they will seek to worship him today. Not for what we can get, but what we can give him and for who he is. Amen? I want to do something a little bit different this morning as we close. If God is pulling at your heart, like we talked about, if you feel that in your heart this morning, that's God speaking to you this morning. All right, and you know, we talk about it with the teenagers sometimes. We think, well, you know, the world tells us it's a guilty conscience if we did something wrong, whatever. I don't buy that. It's God speaking to us, saying, this isn't good for you. This isn't good. But he does the same thing when he wants to draw us into him. He says, look, come seek me. I'm right here waiting for you. And he puts this little tugging in your heart that you can't even explain to somebody. You explain to somebody who's not a Christian, who's never experienced, they look at you like you're some weirdo. But we all know, if we've experienced what I'm talking about, that same thing that leads us to get out of our comfort zone, to come forward and announce in front of everybody, say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's just that simple. If God is calling you this morning, I want to invite you to come. But I also want to invite us to come as we sing, and to follow the example of the wise men. As crazy as it might look, as crazy as it might seem, as crazy as it might make us feel to get out of our comfort zone, I want us to come forward and to bow this morning and to worship Jesus. Because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. The song, we sang it earlier, we read it in the scripture, we're going to fall down on our face and we're going to worship the King of Kings. Do we understand, church, how awesome God is? Do we understand how awesome his creation is? Do we understand how awesome heaven is? But I want to encourage you this morning, eternity starts the moment that you accept Jesus Christ. Eternity is today. It's part of eternity today. So will we just say, I'll just wait until it's more convenient to me? Maybe, oh God, if I make it to heaven, I'll worship you then. Or are we going to be a body of believers who say, man, I've come seeking the King of the Jews, and I've come seeking the King of Kings, the Messiah, and I have come worship him today. Did you come to worship Jesus Christ this morning?
Amen.
So as we sing this morning, if God is calling you, I'm going to be waiting down here in the front for the first couple of verses, but after that, I'm going to fall down on my knees and I'm going to worship. If you want to come and worship this morning, if you need prayer or something, come this morning. Come, get out of your comfort zone and watch you be filled. Watch God fill you with his joy when you submit to him and just say, okay, I know this is weird, but I'm going to come and I'm going to bow down and I'm going to worship you. Amen. If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing. Hymn number 146.